You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. And here we are. We can finally look at the games of Week 9 in the NFL schedule to break them down both sides for fantasy football. We only have 13 games again with the more teams on a bye, six. Just as many as we had last week. So some guys that you might look at that you typically don't as a potential play. So let's look at these games. Some intrigue here. A lot of offense-defense type matchups where we're not sure who to go with. So let's dive right in. You have the Buffalo Bills and New York Jets opening on Thursday night football this week. And this one, pretty low over-under with the 42, kind of higher than we expected, but the Bills are favored in this one, but only by 3 points, so we expect this to be pretty close. I know that the Bills won this matchup pretty ugly in week one, but things have changed a little bit. Josh McCown is playing well, consistently throwing multiple touchdowns a game. It's hard to go against that now, even in this tough matchup, so if you need a streamer, pick up some guy maybe to play when Tom Brady's not playing this week on the bye, and Ben Roethlisberger, he's the other notable quarterback, along with Philip Rivers. He's been streaming guys. McCown is a guy that's been very consistent over the past several weeks. So I think if you need him, you can go that way again. I wouldn't really go with the Jets' backs. I think you can go away from them. I think Robbie Anderson and Austin Seferian-Jenkins are guys that you can look at as well if you need them. They've been quite productive. Seferian-Jenkins cooled off last week. Anderson was very good in last week's game. So, the two guys you can't just sleep on all the Jets, but the backs you're staying away from. On the Bills side, I don't think I would stretch too much into going too deep on them. Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy for sure. Kelvin Benjamin will be interesting to see in the short turnaround from the trade deadline if he's going to be able to do this and play. I would say no, so you may not get his services there. Sorry, if you were counting on him for the Panthers, you may not have him active at all for this game, but I'm sure they'll try to get him up to speed, but it'll be kind of difficult there. But Tyrod Taylor, this is another good spot for him, another good spot for McCoy. If this team can go run heavy, it will, so I think this is definitely an opportunity to do that against the Jets defense. Our next game as we go into Sunday, no 9 o'clock or early kickoff from London or anything like that. No, we start on the East Coast in Philadelphia. And big trade here also affecting the Eagles. Jay Ajayi comes in. They say early that LeGarrette Blount is still going to get a lot of carries. Jay Ajayi might be more of a 1A early, but I just don't see that happening really. I don't see why you make this trade if Jay Ajayi is not an upgrade over LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount is also an older back and has been up and down all year. The problem with this particular matchup is the Broncos are very nasty against the run. So this is a brutal initial spot for Ajayi. I think things will have to open up a little bit. Maybe he's a little bit touchdown dependent, which he couldn't score at all in Miami. They had zero rushing touchdowns. So maybe Carson Wentz moving the ball to his guys and using the middle of field. The Broncos all vulnerable to the slot if you can move the guy around. Nelson Agholor is someone you could look at here as maybe being a guy that can beat this defense. Elshon Jeffery you're still going to go with, even though he could face some of the no-fly zone. But the way Carson Wentz is playing and having such a weapon like Zach Ertz, we saw what Travis Kelce was able to do this defense. I think Wentz you can still feel comfortable about. I think Ertz you feel very good about in this one. Jeffery and Agholor, you cool off a little bit, but I think those guys are going to help Wentz. Jeffery, you play. Agholor, you might sit in this particular game. Ajayi, I think you're still going to play him because you're a carryover Dolphins owner of the back. But when you look at LeGarrette Blount, I think you definitely have to fade him hard, even though what the comments were to say that he could play. On the other side, Denver, Paxton Lynch maybe too short of a week here for him to take over. Trevor Siemian really struggling. Hard to trust anything in the Broncos offense, but we'll see if they make the change. Regardless of them making the change, I think Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, you can still look at them because Eagles secondary is still a weakness. Whoever's out there, there might be some garbage time if the Eagles go off to a big lead. I know the Eagles front is very tough, so, but Thomas and Sanders, I think Sanders' return could help Thomas and vice versa, so I think you hope for the best with them. CJ Anderson, for now, I guess you still look at him as an RB2 because he's still getting the ball more and consistently than Devontae Booker, Jamal Charles. You like to see him get the ball a little bit more, especially in scoring position, but at least he had 85 yards from scrimmage on Monday in a bad, bad matchup, so you got to just accept that for now and go with it and hope for the best in this one. And maybe it's not as bad if they make a little bit of a change there at quarterback. Our next game is the Rams and Giants. Cross-country trip for the Rams. Both of these teams were on bye last week, so it'll be interesting to see what adjustments they make. I think this is a tough game for Jared Goff. And no Janoris Jenkins on the other side. And he's the one now who's suspended indefinitely. So that might help Sammy Watkins a little bit, but it's really hard to trust him too much. I think this could be a tough game for Cooper Kupp with Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie in there. I just think the Giants' secondary still has enough pieces here to maybe contain them, especially with the rested pass rush. They'll be healthy up front. This defense started to play like its old self of late. The Rams have a pretty good offensive line, but I just can't expect too many points up here from Goff. Todd Gurley, I think it's that time of game. It's the elements. It's November. Gurley, I really like. Even though the Giants' run defense has improved, I still like the way Gurley runs and special abilities he has. Granted, he's always in your lineup, but I think you feel better about him than their passing game this week. On the Giants' side of things, I think they've made some corrections and that'll work, and especially up front, and I think that could help here contain Aaron Donald, maybe get Orlean Starkwick going again. The Rams have been pretty vulnerable against the run, so I bet Darkwa is going to lead the backfield slightly over Wayne Gallman in this particular game because the game flow should be favorable. But Eli Manning, if you need him as a streamer this week, he's not the greatest matchup, but middle of the road where you could maybe get 16, 17 points out of him if you're looking for that. But if you're looking for much more, I think you have to go away. I think intriguing to me is Evan Ingram that could do some damage here against the Rams. And Sterling Shepard. I think both these guys are going to get targeted a ton playing off the running game for the Giants. So you can go there in deeper leagues. I think Evan Ingram has kind of solidified himself as a late back end TE1, while Sterling Shepard, in his return, likely from the ankle injury, more like a wide receiver 3 option. Our next game is the Buccaneers going to the Saints. We're not sure 100% about Jameis Winston playing. Dirk Cutter is the shoulder. He didn't respond too well. Took another hit there. Didn't play very well against Carolina. So we'll have to see how that goes. But Ryan Fitzpatrick has proved that it's not going to miss much of a beat. Granted, the Saints' pass defense has been very good. But the weapons here, I think if Fitzpatrick plays, you'll see a lot of Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard. Those are the guys that can make things happen in the middle. It's not a great game outside then for Mike Evans. He can still break free at any time. We can see, we saw that in Arizona where Patrick Peterson missed a down and he scored a touchdown. So Evans is a guy in your lineup every week. Jackson is a guy you have to fade a little bit more in a game of this caliber, but the tight ends could really become a factor even more so than usual with Fitzpatrick in there. And this could maybe be a very good spot for Doug Martin. You saw the Saints really struggled with Jordan Howard last week. So I think if the Bucs are smart, if Winston has to miss the game, you'll see a lot of Doug Martin in this game. It's a 50 over under, so they expect the points to be put up there. But I feel better with a healthy Fitzpatrick than a banged up Winston to make that happen. On the Saints side of things, Drew Brees, this is a chance for him to get going. You look at the Bucs secondary, played over its head, but again, the Panthers were very limited in the way they could attack them. The Saints are not. They're going to have to worry about Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, who are locked into your lineup every week. And then Breeze will have some opportunities outside. Maybe this is a chance for Michael Thomas to really dominate a game against some struggling corners. So, and Ted Ginn also, if you're going a little bit deeper. So, frustrating, I know, if you're a Breeze owner to see him have a game like last week with zero TD passes, especially at home in the Superdome. That gets corrected this week. And in DFS, I think Breeze and Thomas is a sneaky stack that people are going to be off of. But this matchup is too good to ignore that. Our next game is really, again, another dominant pass defense right now that's forcing a lot of takeaways. Jacksonville, you got to lock them in against the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals were very disappointing. They were able to score enough to beat the Colts, but still disappointing. At 38 over-under, so you know that the Bengals are not going to be able to score too much here. At Jacksonville, I think it's going to be pretty much a Leonard Fournette show. So you maybe look at the backs here, Joe Mixon and Leonard Fournette. But beyond that, really hard to trust too much in this game. The Bengals defense is generally playing well. There's just not anything in the Jacksonville pass game, especially with maybe how it might be in flux with Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns and D.D. Westbrook. So Bengals, you're looking at A.J. Green, but keep in mind just temporary expectations because very tough matchup on the other side. Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bowie are looming there. So I think Mixon and Fournette, you feel best about them just based on how this matchup is. But Green, you're still going to put out there just be prepare to be a little bit disappointed. And the Jacksonville's D against Andy Dalton might be the best play of all in this game. Moving on, we have the Falcons traveling to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Now, the Panthers were bigger favorites in this one, but they had traded Kelvin Benjamin away. So you look at that, that's definitely going to change their potential to score in this one. That makes it a lot easier for the Falcons' young defense, especially Desmond Trufant. He's a guy that can easily take away Devin Funchess on the outside. Trufant did struggle last week against Anderson, but that's Robbie Anderson of the Jets, but that's just a speed matchup that he couldn't really handle. So this week, you look at Trufant and this defense, I think they could be very effective. So it's a sneaky little play. This offense is still struggling. Only managed 17 points last week in Tampa Bay. We know that Cam Newton has had some ugly home games, and I don't know. I just don't trust them doing much. I think you have to be able to run a little bit on Atlanta to soften up their pass defense, and we know the Panthers can't do that at this point. And then Christian McCaffrey, a lot of fast, good speed linebackers there for the Falcons. So this could be a bit of a struggle for the Panthers offense. And we're looking at 44, and I don't think it's a great matchup for the Falcons offense either. I think you're looking at Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, the way they played a little bit better last week. Julio didn't do as much in the rain, but with the way that Matt Ryan kind of got back on track a little bit later in that Jets game, that you feel better about him. You have to watch for Devontae Freeman and the running game there. I think you're still playing Freeman and Tevin Coleman, but keep in mind Freeman's a little banged up with the shoulder. The Panthers have been very stingy against the run, but these two guys could get going here for sure. So I think if you go with the points here, it's going to be a lot of Falcons stuff right now. They just a lot of things to trust on that side versus the Carolina side, even at home. I think you could play the Panthers defense because the Falcons are turning over the ball more than usual, but I think that's the one part of Carolina I feel best about. And McCaffrey, I used to feel much better, but now things have just gone in a negative direction here for this entire offense, and no Benjamin is going to hurt even more. We go to our next game, the Colts-Texans. This has got a 48-50 over-under, and I think this is a lot to do with everyone expects the Texans to move the ball at will at this one. They're 14-13. Point favorites in this one. So they expect the Deshaun Watson show to just do its thing after the Seattle game. Just Watson to just pick apart this secondary with DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, open things up for Lamar Miller. So all these things, Texans sound great, including the defense at home. So I think when you look at that total, it's all on the Texan side when you look at that spread as well. So you feel good about just about everything. Texans, you could go even a little bit deeper to maybe Ryan Griffin this week. If the game flow gets out of hand, maybe it's Dante Foreman if you're deep and desperate for a guy to run out the clock here. So just great matchup overall for the Texans. And it's not too bad for the Colts either, especially the real part of their offense that's moving the ball, Jacoby Brissett and tight end Jack Doyle. So you need to plug in someone there for this week. Brissett and Doyle are not a bad combo to look at for sure. It's a sneaky little stack because they're going to have to be throwing a lot. And Doyle's now the trusted guy over T.Y. Hilton. Hilton is just hard to trust completely anymore because of his fade and kind of his complaining in this offense. So I think overall, Colts could get some garbage points in this one. Marlon Mack, it could be a good spot for him as well as the young back coming on. So Mack, Doyle, and Brissett, if they have some decent opportunities here, game flow is going to help them a lot. And so you can benefit some from the trickle-down of the Texans' great matchup. Our next game is Baltimore-Tennessee. It's the last game here we talk about in the 1 p.m. Sunday window. And Baltimore, Joe Flacco, the reports are that he's going to play through this nasty concussion he had. It does help that there's a few extra days. He played on Thursday Night Football in Week 8, so we'll see how he responds there. But this game, I think you're going to see Tennessee exploit the Ravens' run defense a little bit more. I know Brandon Williams came back, really shut down the Dolphins, but the Dolphins' offensive line is nothing like the Titans' offensive line. So inside, interior is going to be a good game for the Titans. I think DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry could be very effective at home. They're both better at home in general. So you could play Henry if you're stretching a little bit in your league. And Murray, for sure, having a week to rest that hamstring with a bye is good to go. Corey Davis had a cool on. I know there's all the buzz about him returning. He was the highest targeted Titans receiver way back in week one before he got hamstrung and missing a lot of games. But I would cool off on him. It's a good Ravens secondary outside, so this could be a lot of Delanie Walker for sure working the middle of the field, maybe Jonnu Smith as well. So Marcus Mariota, I'm not thrilled about in this matchup. I think it could be very run-heavy, and Mariota has been disappointing in games like these where he's just not going to throw the ball at will and for big yards. So this is just a game for the Titans running backs. On the other side, Joe Flacco, it's hard really to even trust him here. Just the volume and the scoring isn't great. But if you're taking a dart throw and you're looking at this Titans defense, Flacco and his weapons could do some damage. So I might more look to Jeremy Maclin as someone I look at now that he's fully healthy and a big part of the offense again. So you could look to Jeremy Maclin. I think you look at Alex Collins as well after his breakout game against the Dolphins, big breakout game, that you'll see a lot of Collins. And you'll see the Ravens try to be as run-heavy as possible here. And so basically the same guys that came through in the Dolphins game you're looking at here a week later. Our next game here, as we go to 4 o'clock window on Sunday, we have the Cardinals traveling to the 49ers. Last time they played, it was Carson Palmer and Brian Hoyer. This time it's Drew Stanton and C.J. Beathard. No Jimmy Garoppolo yet, so if you were eager to see him get out there, help this 49ers offense, overall just his presence, being able to get the ball in the hands of wide receivers, open up the running game and all that, you're going to have to wait a little bit. So tough matchup here for Carlos Hyde against this Cardinals run defense. They can easily stack and try to take away Hyde. Pierre Garçon is banged up. We're not sure if he's going to play, but then if Marquise Goodwin's the number one, he's probably going to see some Patrick Peterson here. So good matchup that could be wasted here where not enough depth to take advantage of the Cardinals' weakness in the secondary. But they were shored up a little bit during the bye, so just not much 49ers you have confidence in. It's a pretty low over-under with 39, so not much in the Cardinals offense with Drew Stanton. We've just seen him kind of hit the ceiling, and it's not very high. So this could be a game for Adrian Peterson. Just hand the ball off to him a lot. The 49ers run defense is putrid, so Peterson is the guy you like the most. Larry Fitzgerald, we've seen with Drew Stanton there, has just been disappointing. But you're going to hope for the best because of the matchup this week. I just don't think you go any much deeper there with guys like J.J. Nelson, Jerron Brown, or John Brown. I just don't see the upside there. Fitzgerald is more like the tight end, kind of. If it's a gritty game with a lot of Peterson, a lot of Fitzgerald, that's where I would go this week. It's Trustan, if you're desperate, you go there for QBs, but I think you can do better with streamers this week. And then you really like the Cardinals defense. Take advantage while Garoppolo's not in there. Player defenses against the 49ers. We move on to another 4:05 game. These are Fox games with the weird schedule because not too many late games, but the CBS has a marquee game. We'll get into that in a second. With Washington and Seattle, Washington versus Washington, if you want to break it down that way. Redskins at Seahawks. Seahawks back at home in this window. Keep the Russell Wilson express train rolling. In terms of his receivers, Doug Baldwin, just now because of the emergence of Tyler Lockett and Paul Richardson, Doug Baldwin's not going to just dominate targets, especially with Jimmy Graham playing well as well. But you look at this, Jimmy Graham has a really good matchup here. The Redskins struggle generally against tight ends. That's because they have two pretty good corners on the outside. So I think Lockett and Richardson could cool off a little bit, but Richardson has to be in your lineup because of the touchdown potential here. He's kind of what Doug Baldwin is when he was breaking out, scoring a lot of times consistently. So that's what you look at there with Graham and Richardson and Baldwin. And Wilson is just locked in every week because this team cannot run the ball. Just don't even look at their backfield. And that's why Wilson is their best runner and best passer at this point. And on the other side, I don't think you can trust anything with the Redskins. They're too one-dimensional. Cannot run the ball. That's just killer. There's no threat in the backfield when you're in Seattle. So Kirk Cousins, rough game. His receivers, who knows, with this mix that's pretty ugly, the hot hand approach. I don't like any of them being hot at all. I think they'll all be cooled here. And with no Jordan Reed in there, that threat is gone. Maybe you look at Vernon Davis. It's a guy that's had success against the Seahawks in the past in a 49ers uniform. So he actually might be the only play that I even consider in this one for the Redskins, other than Chris Thompson, who's got him in there every week just because of the game flow. It's a 45 under, over under. I think Thompson could always rack up some garbage underneath balls. Yeah, and kind of old school, maybe not a big expectation, but a PPR, you can look at Thompson, and definitely Seattle's defense is locked into your lineup. Even last week, giving up all those points, they did make a lot of big plays against the Texans and Deshaun Watson. They will make them against Kirk Cousins. Get through a pick six against the Cowboys in the rain last week. Speaking of the Cowboys, they are in our marquee game in this 4:25 window. We mentioned Fox. The game's on CBS. I should correct that. And that means Tony Romo's coming back. And now you'll get to see Dak Prescott looking. Ezekiel Elliott is suspended here. So Alfred Morris will be interesting to see if he follows with what Jerry Jones said, that he is going to be the lead back here. I think you'll see plenty of Darren McFadden as well, some of Rod Smith. So Ezekiel Elliott, they just have to mix it up here. But I do like Kansas City to win this game. It's a pretty high scoring over under, pushing 51 here. So Prescott, this actually is good for Prescott and his value with no Elliott, because the volume is going to be pretty high. I think Morris could have some success here, always a threat to score a touchdown. But Prescott and his receivers, he's going to open things up. Cole Beasley, he's dealing with a bit of a concussion, so we'll have to watch that. So that could open some things up for Terrence Williams here as a number two receiver to watch in this matchup against the Chiefs secondary and their weakness. Jason Witten is somebody that's going to be probably more valuable. Beasley has to sit. But Beasley himself could be very productive because slot and number two have been a problem for the Chiefs against the good offenses. And it's not going to be like Monday night where Trevor Siemian can get anything on Prescott and is a better offensive line. This could be high scoring. We think the Chiefs could have their way here with Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill on the other side for Alex Smith. So the quarterbacks I love in this game, the running backs, like I said, Hunt is maybe the best start of the week with Elliott not playing. And then you have Morris being a solid to play there as an RB2, more so than McFadden, just because we don't trust him exactly coming in active for the first time. Then all the principal pass catchers for both these teams. So to live up to expectations, I think this will be one of the better games of the week. And you won't have defenses that you are worth playing in this one for sure. The Chiefs come in worn from Monday night. Had a good Monday night, but that was a much worse offense there for the Denver Broncos. This should be a fun game, but Prescott really rebounds. So if people fading on him on DFS, I think he's a good play. And Des Bryant and him are not a bad stack at all. But keep in mind that Bryant stretching the field is going to be tough here with Marcus Peters, likely his matchup on the other side. Two more games left to go. The Raiders travel to the Dolphins, and this is actually a very good matchup for the Raiders overall. The Dolphins' defense is kind of unraveling here, losing discipline, but regardless, they're not very good on the outside in covering receivers. So when you look at that, this is a good spot for both Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper. I think the middle of the field could open up as well for Jared Cook. So I just think Miami's kind of lost it, and the Ajayi trade could just make kind of deflate their players even more here. I know there was rumors of Ajayi not fitting the locker room and all that, but they just don't have enough offense. And if you can't have enough offense and score, it's not going to inspire anybody on your team much. So when you look at that, this is a good chance for the Raiders to take advantage. Marshawn Lynch coming back from suspension. It's extremely hard to trust him, but there's a spot here that could be good against a defense that gets kind of beat up. It could be right here to rebound. So, but I look at it more as pure flex player, very deep league RB2 at this point. It's just not anything you can trust too much. But the Raiders are passing team, so that's going to be good for Carr, Crabtree, Cooper, and like I said, you can extend to Cook this week. On the Dolphins side, Jay Cutler, if you're desperate, he's going to play in this one. Return from the ribs injury. Devontae Parker should return. We know this Raiders secondary is not very good, and the game flow should suggest Miami throws around, especially with no Ajayi in the backfield. There's no even shot to trust a power running game all of a sudden with Kenny and Drake. So you could see a lot of Damian Williams out there on third down passing type situations. So Cutler could get some garbage time. He really hasn't really done much with that all season, but maybe I'm a week off to adjust and look at the playbook a little bit more and then get Parker back. That could all add up to some cheap points there from Dolphins. But Kenny Drake Williams was the big question mark there. Drake is technically the starter, but we saw that with Ajayi. This team cannot run very easily, so Damian Williams could be the guy early just because he pass protects well and is a reliable guy in that area and can catch passes as well. I would say if you want to go for any of these defenses, I would say think twice and go away from this game on Sunday night. Finally, we go with the Lions and Packers. And if you're going with the Lions defense on Monday night, you could. But I also kind of like the Packers defense. At home on Monday night, they typically play a little bit better and over their heads. They're going to be a little bit healthier in this game. Lions offense, yeah, has potentially to put up some points in this one, but turnovers could be there as well on both sides. So that's something to keep in mind if you're going a little bit deeper. The over-under is pretty low in this game, 43. The Lions are slight favorites, so that's going to be good for Green Bay to stay in the game and run the ball. I think you'll see a lot more of Aaron Jones. Ty Montgomery, you could see him being worked on the committee, but Aaron Jones, after the game he had before the bye against New Orleans, you feel good about him continuing to see a good workload. I think Brett Hundley will play better. I think that means Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams will be better. I don't think you can look at Randall Cobb or Martellus Bennett at all because they're the third options here. With the young quarterback like Hundley, you're going to see a lot of Nelson and Adams. That's probably what they worked on a lot to make sure you get the ball in the hands of the best receivers and trust your running game and play off that and throw some deep shots with Aaron Jones running well. So I think you'll see a lot of that develop in this game. So don't be totally down on Nelson and Adams, but he can be down on Cobb and Bennett, and you should be very high on Jones. On the other side, Lions, we know that Marvin Jones Jr. is coming off a very good game against the Steelers, and he typically plays well against Green Bay. Remember, he had the big, big game in Lambeau Field last season. So this is a good potential there for him to get going outside. Golden Tate didn't look totally healthy, played through it there, but he should be a little bit better this week with the extra day to recover. So you look at the Lions there. I think the passing game for sure with Matthew Stafford, they're not going to be held in the end zone against this secondary. Amir Abdullah is just really hard to trust, but could be a chance here where Lions are not being blown out of the building or playing from behind where Abdullah can stick with the run a little bit more. They're probably going to overcorrect that after fading too quickly away from it against Pittsburgh. But the problem with Abdullah is not getting the ball at the goal line, not getting the ball in the passing game. Maybe they'll look at the ineffectiveness of Washington and Theo Riddick and say we have to go there a little bit more. So still not too thrilled about that running game versus the Lions. Passing game, the same thing goes in reverse. I like the Packers running game a little bit more than their passing game for sure this week. Kind of the tables have turned there with no Aaron Rodgers, but they're going to have to trust a lot of Aaron Jones for sure. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of every game on the Week 9 NFL schedule. It's called Matchup Wednesday. We do it every Wednesday here at Locked On Fantasy Football. Make sure you're checking out all the great shows on the Locked On Network, whether it's the NFL channel or NBA channel, draft shows, fantasy shows. We've got it all here as we made the move to Panoply here. We like being on this platform, so hope you'll find us here. Love us, and go rate us on iTunes. Where if you leave a good review, you can win that subscription to Pro Football Focus, a $39.99 value. So make sure you do that. One show per week, we're giving out a subscription there for anybody who leaves a good review with the Twitter handle on iTunes. So there you have it. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow to wrap up the week with Lineup Thursday.